You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
I feel like a locomotive, sipping, drinking Arizona. Mixtape just around the corner, did a lot in California. Can't wait to drop this, don't you? Yeah, they gon' have fun with that. Smash like Songa, man, my song's gon' break through like a running.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One. It is Sunday, October 22nd, 2023. Mark Daly here on a Sunday night to recap the weekend that was at the Circus of the Americas in beautiful Austin, Texas. No Mark Hamilton tonight. He was supposed to join me. This was supposed to be the first show together. You got getting the band back together, reunited, if you will, in several weeks, almost a month. But I spoke to Mark this afternoon. He's busy doing a reno in his house. And he was like, dude, I'm covered in sawdust. I'm covered in gyprock dust. I just can't get myself cleaned up to do the podcast tonight before it gets too late. He said, do you mind going on and doing one more show solo, and we'll get together in a couple of days to do the weekly news show? And Mark stepped up so much recently, what with my own travels for work. I said, of course, Hammy, I got your back, so I'm going to try and do this one all on my own today. So here we go with the U.S. Grand Prix going at COTA earlier this afternoon. Means that we now have only four races left in the 2023 Formula One World Championship. Next up, we have the Mexican Grand Prix, in beautiful Mexico City, then followed up by the Brazilian Grand Prix, or the Grande Premio de Sao Paulo. And after that, we have the inaugural Las Vegas Grand Prix, which is coming up on the 16th and 17th of March. November. Looking at the wrong calendar. And then in just over a month, we are going to wrap up this season with the season finale at Yas Marina in Abu Dhabi on November 24th, 25th, and 26th. Hard to believe that the season is rapidly coming to a close, but, well, there's nothing really left to race for now, is there? Max has won the Drivers' Championship. Red Bull has won the Constructors' Championship. But there are still individual honors left on the table. Just before we get into it, Max obviously winning the U.S. Grand Prix at COTA this afternoon. So Max now 466 points ahead of his teammate Sergio Perez, who has 240. Lewis Hamilton has 201. Fernando Alonso fourth with 183. Carlos Sainz is fifth with 171. Then you have Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Oscar Piastri, and Pierre Gasly rounding out the top 10. Might as well just do the constructors as well. Red Bull 706 points ahead of Mercedes, who have 344. Ferrari have 322, then followed by McLaren. And Aston Martin is now fifth in the Constructors' Championship. So as Mark and I have been watching, well, as everybody's been watching over the past several months, that the slide of Aston Martin's season is now basically all but complete with only four races left. What a beautiful and fantastic start to the year that they had, hanging in second for so many, many months at the, you know, the first half of the year. Then we're slowly overtaken by Mercedes, then by Ferrari, now by McLaren. And, well, they won't get overtaken by Alpine, who only have 100 points in the constructors so far. So they have a 136.6-point buffer with four races to go, but a little bit disappointing because they certainly were riding rather high at the beginning of the year. Anyways, McLaren have 242 points. Aston Martin have 236. Not a huge gap, but considering how good McLaren have been since they got that upgrade package way back in July at the Austrian Grand Prix, that these are two teams going in different directions. McLaren seemed to be going up. Aston Martin seemed to be going down. And what a weekend that was with the new upgrades that they decided to kind of throw into the trash bin and then revert to the setup that they ran last weekend. weekend in Qatar. Crazy, 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 but it is what it is. Anyways, didn't mean to get off track there so quickly. Just before I go a little bit further, just want to give a couple of shout-outs here. First of all, to Magnus and the crew over at the Race Weekend Magazine. Enter in our promo code ScuderiaPod at checkout to receive 10% off a yearly subscription. And you can find them at theraceweekend.com, and that's RACEWKND.com. Also check out racingexclusives.com, who provided us with this beautiful 1/2 scale Max Verstappen helmet, autographed Max Verstappen helmet, which we will be giving away in just over a month's time. I don't have the fantasy standings up in front of me, so I'll leave that to Mark to update in a couple of days from now. And well, that's exciting. And I honestly, I don't want to give it away, but it's not mine to keep. So somebody is going to be receiving that wonderful autographed Max Verstappen half scale helmet. And you can check out everything Racing Exclusives has by going over to their website at racingexclusives.com and check out everything they have there. All right, so gone over the driver standings, the constructors standings. So this weekend, just before I get into the race itself, just I want to very quickly just go over the sprint and the whole shootout and everything like that. You know, the sprint race itself wasn't very exciting, and just in general, and I'm only going to just touch on this a little bit, because in the sprint race on Saturday afternoon, we had Max Verstappen winning, beating Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc, who came home second and third. Then Lando Norris, Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz, Pierre Gasly, George Russell, Alexander Albon, and Oscar Piastri rounding out the top 10 in the sprint race. I don't really know what else to say. I mean, it wasn't very exciting. I've heard a lot of people saying online over the last couple of days that this is a format that just isn't working. You know, we got to do something different, and it's kind of hard to ignore, right? I see the logic in the way that they kind of structured the schedule to have more sprint weekends kind of backloaded in the calendar rather than front-loaded, or maybe even spread out over the course of the entire season. I mean, in a perfect world, we would have had a more competitive championship right from the word go. And well, it's been anything but, what with Max racing off into the distance right from basically from the beginning of the year. And Sergio Perez's token challenge of the world championship was just that. It was always going to be Max, right? And unless something very bizarre happened, and he had some unprecedented run of bad reliability or a bunch of crashes or incidents forcing him out of races, then sure. But, you know, it is what it is. Wasn't a very exciting one. So I'm open to have this discussion. Maybe I'll just park it here for now. You can send us a tweet at ScuderiaF1Pod. Let us know your thoughts on the whole sprint weekend format. Clearly something needs to be done. And I feel like this is one better to park for the moment and talk about when Mark Hamilton comes back in a couple of days, or, you know, we know that we're coming up on the off season pretty soon. And if you're one of the 20 people still left listening to this podcast after the season that, well, it's not even the season that just was, it still is the season that still is. And with four races left to go, it just seems like it's going to be more of the same. I think we were all very hopeful this weekend that somebody else than Max was going to win the Grand Prix, the main event on Sunday. Looked like that might actually happen. Lando was looking pretty good. Lewis was looking pretty good. And then that kind of leads into the next conversation that we're going to have. And that will be the race result. But before we do that, there were quite a lot of cars that started from the pit lane this morning, including the Haases and the two Aston Martins. A little bit strange to see only 16 cars rolling off on the starting grid at the beginning of the race. Anyways, I'll go down the first couple of rows because it does sort of bear in mind when I sort of go through the race itself and what happened. So we had Charles Leclerc taking the pole after qualifying on Friday. Alongside him on row one was Lando Norris and the McLaren. Row two was Lewis Hamilton and Carlos Sainz. Row three was George Russell and Max Verstappen. Max went wide, believe it was at turn 19, had a track time deleted, which was unfortunate for him, because had he kept that lap time, that would have been good enough to put him on pole position. But it was a costly mistake, dropped him six places to start the race in P6, which for Max isn't really the biggest hurdle that he could be faced with. We've seen him come back from more, but he did have to work for it over the course of the entire race. Get into that in a moment. Then going on in row three at Pierre Gasly. Row four was Esteban Ocon and Sergio Perez. And then finally in row five was Oscar Piastri and Yuki Tsunoda. So why don't we go down? Because the first thing we're going to want to talk about here is the reclassified race classification, or the, what do you want to call it, reordered one. Because after the checkered flag was waved, we had Max Verstappen winning this one ahead of Lewis Hamilton in the Mercedes, then Lando Norris, Carlos Sainz, Sergio Perez, Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Lance Stroll, Yuki Tsunoda, Alex Albon, and Logan Sargeant. That was more than the top 10. But after the race was done, there was an investigation into Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes and Charles Leclerc's Ferrari. It was found that they had excessive wear on the wooden plank underneath the floor of the car, meaning that the car had shaved off greater than 1 millimeter, which is not a huge amount, but it's significant enough, suggesting that the ride height on these cars were lower than it should have been. And even a distance of 5 millimeters, which isn't very much, I think that's an eighth of an inch, actually does translate into quite a gain in performance, which could be several kilometers per hour of velocity. So it's something definitely that they need to, you know, to be aware of, because, you know, these planks have been around since, what, the 1990s, if not before. And I remember Michael Schumacher having a bit of an issue with a wear on a plank way back in the 1990s, I think when he was driving for Benetton. And it might have been at Spa, but don't quote me on that without giving me the opportunity to look it up. Anyways, the point is that it happened. And I think that it was just an artifact of the whole sprint race week. And the fact that there wasn't lots of practice sessions. There was only one FP1 session before we had qualifying, before we had the sprint shootout, before we had the sprint race, and then the main event on Sunday afternoon. So I think that it could be attributed to a lot of things. Sure, I mean, if they had greater than 1 millimeter wear on the plank, fair enough. The ride height was too low or lower than what it should have been. But I'm just wondering if that there were other factors at play just in the setup of the car, and the fact that they didn't have a lot of time to really get them dialed in the way that they would, the drivers and the team would have wanted. Maybe the suspension was too soft. Maybe it was too low. Maybe it was a combination of that and other factors. But at the end of the day, it was Lewis and Charles who had their cars checked over by the scrutineers, found the anomaly, and as a result of that, they were both disqualified. So that meant by the time it was all said and done, we had a new final race classification, which meant that Max Verstappen still kept the race victory. Lando Norris was promoted from P3 to P2. Then you had Carlos Sainz in P3 getting onto the podium. Then Sergio Perez in P4. Then moving up into P5 was George Russell, Pierre Gasly, Lance Stroll, Yuki Tsunoda. And then finally in P9 and 10, you had Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant. So the two Williams drivers making it into the final points paying positions in P9 and 10 for a double points finish. And that was wonderful for the Grove outfit to get into the points like that, because it certainly looked like they were going to be missing out. So there was a good story because of that. Obviously unfortunate for Lewis, who had tons of pace in the closing stages of that race. And had he maybe a couple of laps more, probably could have given Max a good run for their money right at the end of the race. However, it was not to be. Anyways, just going back to the plank issue with Lewis and with Charles Leclerc. After the race, the FIA did release a statement saying, quote, And I've lost the quote now. Pardon me. Here we go. Quote, during the hearing, the teams acknowledged that the measurement performed by the FIA technical team was correct and stated the high wear on the skid pads was probably a result of the unique combination of a bumpy track and the sprint race that minimized the time to set up and check the car before the race. The stewards note that the onus is on the competitor to ensure that the car is in compliance with the regulations at all time during an event. In this particular case, the rear skid in the area defined in the technical delegate's report was outside of the thresholds, which includes a tolerance for wear. Therefore, a standard penalty for a breach of the technical regulations is imposed. End quote. So both Lewis and Charles were found to be in breach of Article 3.5.9e of the 2023 Formula One technical regulations, which reads, quote, the thickness of the plank assembly measured normal to the lower surface must be 10 millimeters plus minus 0.2 millimeters and must be uniform when new. A minimum thickness of 9 millimeters will be accepted due to wear, and the conformity of to this provision will be checked at the peripheries of the designated holes. End quote. So there you go. That is the reasoning. Sounds like it's a pretty cut and dry thing. Just unfortunate for those two drivers, at any rate, that they were put up for extra scrutineering after the race, and this was found to to have been the fact. This next one here, a little bit, I've got some mixed emotions on this one, but Max was robustly and resoundingly booed by many of the fans at COTA after his win on Sunday afternoon, which was his 50th race victory in Formula One. This is nothing new. We've seen this before. I remember a number of years ago, Nico Rosberg getting booed. I think it was at Spa after that he'd won that race, and that was right at the time when he was challenging Lewis for the world championships. Anyways, I understand people's sentiments, but it's I guess all personal interpretation, but I don't like seeing that sort of thing. Anyways, Max said after the race, quote, that's incredible to win my 50th Grand Prix here. I'm very proud, of course, and will just keep on trying to push for more. I think the whole race, I was struggling a lot with the brakes, and around here, there are quite a few braking points, and I couldn't really have had the same feeling as yesterday. So that definitely made my race a bit tougher out there today, but you could see that it was very close to the end. Then we also have the back markers with the tires already going, which makes it a little bit more difficult. Then finally, Max goes on to say, quote, you don't want to destroy the tires, but I was struggling a lot on the braking, end quote. And we'll get into that in a little bit here, because there was a kind of a interesting story and exchange between Max and his race engineer over the radio, especially in the latter portions of the race here. Anyways, I want to just take a really, really quick break, come back in a moment. I want to keep talking about Red Bull, which we always seem to talk about on this show, but that's all good. They do dominate the headlines and a lot of the stories in Formula One, and we'll pick it up on the flip side. So please don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Ocean. All right. Well, sticking with the topic of brakes and Max Verstappen, after the race, Max told Sky Sports F1, quote, "We changed the brakes after yesterday and it was not good. I had no feeling under braking. I couldn't really get on top of it for the whole race. This is something we need to understand because when you're not very confident around here under braking, you just don't have a nice feeling under braking than when you come up off of it. It can cost you quite a bit of lap time, so it was a bit more difficult than I expected. I never really struggled in braking so far in my F1 career, but today it was definitely a problem," end quote. So then after the race, Christian Horner, the team principal over at Red Bull, went on to say that Verstappen's pace was compromised because of the brake issue, and had the following to say, quote, "As soon as you start managing that issue, it interferes with your tire temperatures and everything else, so I thought he did a very good job to do that. Difficult to predict of what its cost and pace is, but you could see he didn't enjoy the same advantage of pace, if you like, that he had yesterday. I think it was an issue throughout the race. It was from very early in the first stint. He just wasn't getting the same feeling from the brake pedal that he had previously, and you could certainly see that Checo's pace was strong again today. And all the deficits compared to Sergio, as you heard from Gian Piero Lambesi, that's Max's race engineer, say to him, we're in the braking zones, so for sure there was a bit left on the table today. Day, end quote. And that's what I think made it really interesting, because especially at the end of the race, I know now it's a little bit different because Lewis was disqualified from the Grand Prix, but he was just taking piles of time out of Max's lead there at one point, you know, close to a second of lap. And it looked like at one point we might see a showdown between Max, between Lewis for the race win. Unfortunately, it never worked out that way. I think for the fans that we've all been really wanting to see that rivalry reignited, I should say. But it just didn't happen this afternoon. It would have all been a little bit moot, what with Lewis being disqualified afterwards. But just talking about the braking, this was kind of interesting because Max was going back and forth with his race engineer over race radio at the end of the race and the latter portions of it, and his race engineer is Gian Piero Lambesi, and it got a little bit intense between the two of them. At one point, Max said the following quote: "Ah, mate, these brakes are so bleep compared to yesterday. What a piece of bleep!" And then his race engineer Lambesi said somewhat a little bit kind of like deadpan. He said, "Understood. Just for info at this stage, Max, but time loss to Checo, 39.8, braking 11, 12, 20. To which Max replied, quote, "Yeah, I know, mate. The brakes are just bleep." To which his race engineer actually replied, quote, "As I said, it was just information." And then right at the very at the end, there was a couple of times that Lambesi was on race radio talking to Max. Max was getting a little bit kind of like irritated about it, and so he did get quite he got quite upset with his race engineer, and he said, "Yeah, I know, mate, these brakes are just a bleep." And then another one, he said, "Please no talking under braking," and he was quite aggressive about that. And then another time that when Lambesi pointed out something to him over race radio or passed on a message, Max getting quite irritated, "No talking on in the braking, man." And then just at the end of the race, Lambesi said to Max, "Well done, enjoy the celebration, see you Friday," and then hastily departed from the racetrack. So there was a couple of questions going around by what he meant, "see you on Friday," was "see you in Mexico City on Friday for the practice sessions for the Mexican Grand Prix, which will be going this time next week." Anyways, Christian Horner explained to Sky Sports F1 what was going on, and he had said the following, quote, "Well, it was not a code or anything like that, so the marital bliss between the two of them just rolls along. He's had to rush back to the UK, so he was catching a flight. It used to be Helmut Marko who left the track early. Now it's the race engineer who's straight out after the race," end quote. Anyways, after the race, Max told Sky Sports, quote, "I just couldn't feel the brakes. I very easily locked the fronts. I tried to adjust it, and then it was locking the rears. It was something very, very weird, because normally I never really have issues with the braking. So it's just something that we need to understand, which is why that today, because when you're locking your front or rear, you're also killing your tires, so that definitely didn't help today compared to yesterday. because I think yesterday the feeling was I had with the car that it was really amazing, end quote. So there you go. But it did make a bit of an interesting situation to hear, Max. And, you know, for those of you that have F1 TV Pro, I try to go and watch different parts of the race for different drivers and just to kind of get an idea of what's going on. And it's not like they're always talking on the radio. For those of you that haven't had the opportunity to go and sit in, say, follow Lewis Hamilton around, around the track for 10 laps on a Sunday afternoon, or, you know, all 70, if that's your thing. But they don't really talk very much, because the drivers are obviously using a very, very high degree of mental focus and concentration as they're flying around some of these tracks at over 200 miles an hour, in excess of in many cases. So you can see why the chatter would be minimum. But there are certain times where the engineers communicate something to them, or they have a question to ask, and sometimes the drivers do the same thing. They're on the race radio trying to get some information for whatever it might be over from the pit wall and whatever it might be. So this was just a little bit different than what we usually hear, but good to hear that there's no real split between Max and his race engineer Lambesi. But I guess for those didn't know that he was catching a flight back to the UK before he rejoins Max in Mexico City in a couple of days from now, that it did look a little bit strange. Anyways, I want to talk a little bit now about Lewis Hamilton and some of his trials and tribulations that we saw over the course of the entire weekend. Obviously, he was disqualified at the very end of the race. But before that happened, he was asked after the race, about what had happened and, what his race was like. Lewis had the following to say, quote, I do think we would have been in a fighting position to fight with Max. I think we made our life a whole lot harder today than it probably needed to be. I think it was going to be hard anyway, because these two were very quick, Max and Lando Norris, that is. Anyways, Lewis goes on to say, quote, I think overall, normally we have really great starts, but we struggled in the starts this weekend. So we lost more ground more often than not. And I think one of the pit stops, I think I might have been a bit long, which then made it harder for the guys. And then the stop wasn't great overall. So there's lots of areas that we could have been better, but the positives are that we were at points matching them for pace, and to be only 2 seconds back afterwards at the end of the race, I think is a good sign, end quote. So that is interesting, what he said, because that just the end part of it at any rate, where he says that, feeling that there's a little bit more competitive balance between Mercedes and the Red Bulls. Obviously, it's not really going to play very much for this year, because the championships have already been decided. But I hope that, that it's a sign of things to come, and that next year that we're going to see more competition for race victories and also for the championships. Anyways, after the race, Toto Wolff, team principal of Mercedes, had a conversation with motorsport.com, specifically with Jonathan Noble. And he was asked if, by motorsport.com, if they had a potentially race-winning car. And Toto had the following to say, quote, yeah, I think the car was quick. Lewis drove fantastically, and if I count all things that went against us, you could say maybe we have gone for a two-stop and just cover Verstappen. I think both stops were not great, but it's an equipment topic and not a human. And then we lost 2 seconds behind Lando Norris and probably 1.5 seconds behind Ricciardo. But fair dues, this is how we race, and at the end, it wasn't sufficient, so no blame, end quotes. So Toto felt that one of the factors that meant that the race got away from Lewis in the end was that when they tried to extend their first stage, when they're kind of, I guess, deciding to, the pros and cons of a one-stop strategy or a two-stop strategy, and then while they're doing that, Lewis's tires just basically fell off the cliff, like they said. People say, that saying that his tires fell off the cliff, no more performance left in them. And then Lewis summed up a little bit, Toto summed up by saying, quote, on the last 19 or 20 when Max pitted, we knew that we only needed to make 3 more laps to make a one-stop stick. Then the performance just went downhill massively, and that probably was one of the reasons that we couldn't monetize. But overall, I think we need to be happy with the performance. Anyways, Toto did have a couple of extra thoughts to add, and said the following, quote, it certainly played a role rule if we believe we were with him on the same strategy like Max, cover him, be a few seconds ahead of him. That would have not been enough to win the race. And that's okay. He has been dominating all year. So that's a bit of a mindset you are taking into such a decision. With one stop, we felt we could win, or there's bigger, more bigger chances to win. At the end, the tire performance was not as we thought. End quote. So, yeah, close, but not so close. And it, like I say, it was a little bit academic by the time it was all said and done because Lewis was disqualified. Anyways, Toto Wolff, you know, he was doing the rounds, just talking about the Mercedes and some of the upgrades that they have in the car. He did speak to Sky Sports after the race, had the following to say, quote, "The upgrade is working. I think a superb step, which was the direction that we were hoping that would actually make it a stick more, and it does. And directionally, I think it is a very good sign. We need to take the podium. I hate losing races, and the whole team is in pain. But this is a circuit where a few races ago we wouldn't have performed because it's those fast, sweepy corners. We were miserable in Suzuka. We were here well. The car was there. We had the pace. I think the quickest car on the track, clearly. And then there's the positive that we need to take and stay humble, not take this pace for granted. Now we go to a few tracks that should make the car happier," end quote. And as I said, we're going to Mexico City next week, then we're going to Brazil, then we're going to Vegas, and then in just over a month's time, we're going to shut this season down with a season finale at Yas Marina, Abu Dhabi, and just over a month from now. Anyways, Charles Leclerc, boy, you know, like, what is he now? Like seventh in the Drivers' Championship or whatever it is. You know, another rough day out there. And Charles had to say that there was, quote, "something wrong in our numbers," end quote, at the U.S. Grand Prix. And, you know, I'm starting to feel bad for Charles. I don't believe in things like, you know, curses and bad luck and things like that. I think sometimes, you know, like quite a lot of times you make your own good luck, if you want to call it, you know, but I think certainly you can make things go your way by being prepared, putting in the hard work, rather than just, you know, that a twist of fate and good luck would just kind of manifest on its own. Anyways, Charles kind of lost out there in the end by the time it was all said and done. And he had the following to say after the race, quote, "straight away from the beginning of the race, when we thought the one stop and the two stops were extremely close together, after 12, 13 laps, I saw the numbers on the dash. They were pretty good for the one stop, at least in terms of degradation. I wasn't losing that much time lap after laps, and considering our numbers, this was the right thing to do. So I went in for the one stop, and unfortunately, this was definitely the wrong thing to do. And for some reason, there was something wrong in our numbers today, because we were far off the ideal race strategy." And then as he was asked why the race had fallen apart, and Charles only just kind of didn't really, you know, explain it too much. He just said, quote, "there was something off. To be honest, I don't have the answer yet, because it was quite off, far off the two stops. We finished behind Carlos by 10 seconds, which is a good comparison because we've got the same car. There was something off," end quote. And boy, there sure was. Just want to touch on a couple more things here before we shut it down. So talking about Lando Norris, another great weekend for McLaren. Unfortunately, not so much on Sunday afternoon for his teammate Oscar Piastri, who didn't finish the race, had a mechanical issue. Lando Norris at McLaren said that he just couldn't hold on through the phase of tire degradation throughout the race on Sunday afternoon. After the race, Lando had to say, quote, "yeah, just leading the race. I could control it a lot, but just not enough today. But I'm happy. It was a good race for my side. We knew our struggles. We knew that what was going to be difficult today, and it was just that the degradation, but the pace over the first 10 laps of every stint, the pace was beginning, in the beginning was strong. I just couldn't hold on long enough, so we're getting there. Progress every weekend, just some more stops needed," end quote. Anyways, he did go on to say a little bit more, talking about the race in general, quote, "I had to try right, but I just couldn't do it. I didn't have enough tires left at the end. You saw how quickly he pulled away at the end, so you know, I always had to look after my own race. I did the best I could. I had to push and look after the tires, and it was just too difficult today. So maybe if it was a cooler track, I could have suited us a little bit more, but it wasn't, but I'm still happy. happy. The team have done an excellent job to finish on the podium here. It was better than we were expecting coming into the weekend, so very happy. End quote. And talking about very happy, this is the last story of the night coming up here right now. I don't really have a lot more to add to this one. It was pretty cut and dry. And I had to laugh a little bit too, because I started watching the race this afternoon on my phone. And for some reason, I couldn't get the Sky Speed, Sky Sports feed. It was just the generic Formula One with David Coulthard and James Hinchcliffe in the booth as well, offering opinions and color commentary. And it was interesting. Anyhow, there was a bunch of firsts in this race, including Max scoring his 50th race Grand Prix, and then Logan Sargeant finally scoring some points after it was all said and done, after the two cars in the Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc's being disqualified right at the end of the race because of that plank wear issue. As I said, good to see Logan Sargeant into the points, and Max Verstappen winning his 50th Grand Prix, which puts him in some elite company like Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, quite a number of drivers who are also in that 50 plus wins club. Anyhow, not a lot more to add to this one. The race fairly cut and dry. Max winning again. Pause for big sigh. I won't do that. I'm just kidding. I mean, Max and Red Bull, they really do deserve the credit for the incredible package that they've put together. But from a spectator's point of view, not the most exciting race to watch at times. And we hope and cross fingers that what we've seen from McLaren and from Mercedes will be carried over into next year, and that everything that they can learn between now and the end of November and the remaining four races will just be something that they can apply to the car for 2023, and we'll see a little bit more parity, or at least a little bit more racing back out on the track again very, very soon. Anyways, like I said, it's time to wrap it up here. It's almost 12:30 a.m. Still got an hour or so, maybe a little bit longer, to cut this thing up and drop it into the feed. So as my eyes get really heavy here, it's time for me to bid you all adieu. Goodbye. And we will talk again in a couple of days. Send us an email at scooterf1pod@gmail.com, or send us a tweet at scooterf1pod on X. And that's it, my friends. Have a great week. Have a great Monday. We'll be back again very, very soon. Bye for now.